It's really unique. It certainly isn't like you're doing still life portraits or watercolors. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but you use wood and canvas to create these abstract pieces that really kind of pop out of the wall. So tell us a little bit about them.
I kind of discovered I had this fascination with minimalism, the idea of kind of distilling an entire work into one word or one note of a musical piece or something. And it's sort of funny that you mentioned like that they kind of pop out of the walls. I kind of also see them as being like executions of those single notes where like you can almost, you could compare them to a musical piece, and the ones that are the loudest are the ones that, you know, maybe have the most brass, or and the more like toned down ones would be like your clarinets and your flutes.
So where did you get the inspiration for these pieces?
I think it all kind of started around the earlier half of the previous decade, where like Google had just introduced their Google Maps, their satellite view and all that. And I had remembered looking at that and kind of seeing all these grids and shapes and stuff in, you know, these clusters of humanity. And I think I just eventually decided to make that into something more like physically representational. I mean, my earlier work was a lot more minimalistic than it is now. So you can kind of see it in the earlier work, but not so much anymore. I've expanded a little bit beyond that.
And so do you plan to do this sort of work for the rest of your career?
I imagine I will always do it. To a certain extent, I don't know that I'm going to be stuck in geometric mode for too long, but I think non-representationalism is really attractive to me. The idea of just putting something on a wall and not really begging anyone to guess what it is, or, you know, I just don't like telling a story.
And so do you always create this kind of artwork, though? I know I've seen doodles and sketches on Facebook, for instance.
Well, what's funny is that those drawings, they're almost more complete than the things that I have on the walls most of the time. Those things on the wall are kind of like they're sketches or they're they're impulses, as opposed to the drawings, which I kind of have to plan out a bit more. And there's a little bit more time taken in sort of deciding what the look is going to be, whereas when I build these big geometric things, there's no planning involved. I kind of just start cutting and whatever happens, happens. And it usually kind of, you know, I've gotten to a point where, like, these sketches look like finished pieces, even though, like, I don't know what I'm doing when I'm making them.
Is there math involved in the geometric pieces you're doing now? Or is it, I mean, it looks like there's some technical ability, I guess, behind these things.
There kind of is, I want to say. A lot of what I do whenever I make these is I kind of, like, trace shapes onto other shapes. And there's really not that much actual geometry, actual math involved. It kind of tends to be like if I do a 45-degree angle, well, I have to do a 45 somewhere else just to make it back around, but that's about it.
It seems like many times artists who are successful do it by creating their own aesthetic. Like you can look at a piece and immediately know it's theirs, or at least an imitation of their work. And it seems you've really crafted your own style. I don't think it can be said that at least locally anything else looks like it. What was the process of developing something so uniquely your own?
A lot of experimentation and a lot of, like, disasters. my third year of painting here at UIS, or my third semester of painting, I was making terrible work, and I couldn't figure out exactly where to go. Like, I was in a drifting mode at that point, and I hit upon the minimalism kind of thinking, you know, this is something that I don't see a lot around here, and it's something that I have somewhat of an affection for, and I just sort of went with it and focused on making squares and very basic forms, things that I didn't really see a lot around here. And I think it's kind of evolved to a point where it is a bit of a signature. Like some kids in the floor above, like where I was having my reception, some kids in the floor above were making like little Perschbacher like things on paper using masking tape and all the stuff I use, well, minus the wood. And that was especially flattering because it was sort of a, you know, reminder that that is a signature.
So your exhibit currently is at the Ann Lloyd Gallery in Decatur. You sent me the artist statement for it, but go ahead and maybe summarize what that is.
Well, the name of the show is Disillusion, and when I came up with that name, I didn't exactly know what it would mean. It most bluntly means that there is no illusion to these works. They're just things on a wall. And I think I get excited when I walk into a gallery and there's just like a thing there, like maybe a cube laying on the floor. And it's not meant to evoke anything, but it has a presence. And that's sort of what I became fascinated with in the first place. So Disillusion is kind of like a bit of an homage to just really 7 years of abstraction.
And I was going to ask if you find any meaning behind your work. Obviously, it sounds like not so much.
There's a little bit of therapy involved. I have a lot of meaning. Like, to me, these pieces mean a lot, but I don't expect them to mean anything to anyone else. I started actually titling them instead of just numbering them, and that kind of those titles are a bit more evocative than what, you know, I had gotten accustomed to. So there's anger and there's fear and there's frustration and sadness and all of these, but it's within me, so it's in the work.
And you mentioned that you'd like academic success. Explain what that even means for an artist.
Honestly, I think academic success to me is sort of having the appreciation and the fellowship of the higher-ups in the art community, like people that run galleries. Like, I guess that's sort of what I see as being academic success, at least in terms of art, as long as you can sort of impress the people that need to be impressed to move up to the next tier. You know, that's kind of, that's why I put that in there.
So many people have said that the Springfield art scene has really blossomed in recent years, and you seem to be one of the artists who has been a part of that. Do you think the scene is continuing to grow, or has it hit a plateau?
I would say that since I kind of feel like I'm beginning to move on in my own direction, that I don't know if I'm really a part enough of the community to really tell whether or not it's grown since I, you know, have been kind of pulling away. But from what I can tell, like just in the past few years, it's definitely exploded. I mean, I guess I was part of that explosion, so it's flattering.